So welcome, all as one. Back again this week. We're Radio Tulum. We're Field of Love, and I've got two very special guests on today. I've got Mark from GMB, and I've got Nico from Los Amigos. That should not touch things on the table. It's like being with a child.
So first of all, I
wanted to say the whole reason for this show is to actually bring people together. One of the biggest problems in Tulum is the divide. And as a developer, I feel that we have a responsibility to show that we are actually trying to close that divide and not make it a bigger divide as such. So this isn't about bringing people in as a slanging match or putting people down. This is a bit. The show's called All As One for a reason. So I guess I'll start with the first question, which is going to get the ball rolling, which is to both of you. I mean, whoever wants to answer first, I know. Nico loves the chat, so we can go with this. What does sustainability mean to you?
Yeah, sustainability is a word we got used a lot in Tulum, even if I got here. But we use a lot sustainable development. And sustainable development means for us three things, the famous three P's: people, planet, and profit. So the UNESCO has a nice definition about this on their site, and we try to be sustainable in all three points. It means not only development and architecture and construction, it means also the involvement of the people. Here we are in Tulum. We know in the area a lot of hotels in Cancun generate a lot of profits for international companies, but nothing's for the locals. So I say always, if there's an all-inclusive resort, that means actually there's nothing included for the people. The money that people spend for the hotel is not even arriving to the country. Tulum is great. Tulum doesn't have any of these kinds of hotels. People who come to Tulum spend the money locally, and that provides a nice chance to have beneficial tourism for everyone. And development, everyone wants to develop. As we grew up, we developed. We grew, so it's in human nature we want to develop. And the south of Mexico was always the only chance to have a development in the tourism. Because we're not connected to America here, we can't transmit goods. And so tourism is the biggest chance for growing in the south of Mexico. So naturally, Cancun grew, Playa del Carmen grew, and Tulum grew too. And the big chance we have right now in Tulum is that people come for the nature. They don't come for the all-inclusive experience. They come to connect. We are here to connect each other. And that's the same reason why people come to connect. They come to connect with nature and to each other. So we try to make sure to make a positive impact in all three areas. People, planet, and profit.
Okay, before I come back to the points that you've made, I'm going to also pass that question to Mark. So, yes, Mark, what does sustainability mean to you?
Okay, well, more or less the
similar. Oh, actually, first of all, happy birthday, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you.
You're 21 again.
A little bit more, but anyway, my white hair can tell everybody that I'm not 18. But anyway, sustainability, well, for me, we are now working more close to permaculture, which is to study the way we can do things in an area with a better way. No, with a better way means not touching as less as possible the nature, and of course talking about the people and. And mostly what we are now doing is working on these things. Mostly we are now, in my case, I'm going to develop more to the jungle area. I'm trying to escape from downtown. This is my new way of thinking. And that's what we've been doing the last time. The last days and weeks and months, we've been buying land as far as possible of downtown in Tulum. But we are now thinking that what people is expecting when they come here is nature. And it's impossible now to find this nature downtown. That this is my idea. Mm-hmm. And that's why we've been working and finding some architects that are specialized in permaculture, which means to prepare the land before we do something, to prepare the land to affect as less as possible to this area, no?
I mean, we're...
So I'm escaping from big, massive areas.
Okay.
So that's my idea now, to keep developing.
We're all developers, free developers.
There is a lot of land,
answer the question. What is sustainability to you, Mark?
For me?
Yes. I mean, it's permaculture now.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you go. This is...
So, I mean, what is, in a world that's so greenwashed now, and we have these little marks, obviously permaculture is sustainability and you're trying to, you know, work on this, but if you have to...
Because I understand your question, but everybody talks about sustainability.
Exactly.
And I think today, the most advanced, let's say, people in the world in this term is now, we are now talking about permaculture, which is the step before from talking about sustainability, because sustainability comes in a later moment. Once you are developing, then we use sustainability. But before, in my mind, is permaculture. And today in Tulum, we have thousands of hectares in the jungle. And I think that people, mostly foreign people as like me, like Nico, when we came here, what we love was nature. And because of the development, which we cannot stop, because even you and me and you, we've been a very important players on that. We brought people, we brought developments, and now my idea is to find a way to do these sustainable projects as far as possible from downtown. This is my idea, and this is what now in what I'm working now.
I agree completely with you, and we need it downtown too.
Yeah. Of course.
This question to both of you. So we say about going back into the jungle. I mean, I'm building in the jungle. I mean, what initiatives do you both have in place to protect the jungle, not just build the jungle? I mean, it's also important to protect it. There's one thing that we say and we see advertised all the time is green area. But the green areas, to me personally, this is my opinion, green area is not green area unless it's still full of the original trees. That's how I feel about the green area, because if we're tearing down the jungle, we're just making space for humans. It's so important that we keep the trees. I mean, it's what keeps us alive, right? I mean, what's your feelings on this?
Yeah, I feel the same. Mm. So green area, yeah. The best is what we saw. You do a project, you do renders,
and at the end, the project is more beautiful than it ever looked in the render. Why is that? Because we leave a lot of space for nature. So if you have 69% green space, that means you integrate nature as much as possible. And that makes... Should I repeat?
No, you're good.
And that means... Yeah, it's always the same. Like, in Playa del Carmen, people develop, and people don't come for nature. Because actually, the density is so high, like 100% of the lot gets built. That means 100% of the green area gets destroyed, and there is not even the infrastructure to handle so many people. So in Tulum, it's different. In Tulum, we had the law, actually, to leave 60%, I think, green space. It's great. That's all we need.
It's
60% of the original jungle, and there's great architecture designs. You can integrate this. And then they have another problem. Everything is assigned for construction here by the Mexican government. So we thought in the beginning too, we completely agree with a lot of people who say it should not be constructed at all. Yeah, would be great. Let's assign more national park and then we don't build at all anywhere. Like, I don't understand why people build in a national park. In Europe, usually national parks, there is no building. Mm-hmm. So, but there is from the government of Mexico an area assigned for construction. We say, okay, this area is already assigned for construction and growing. Then let's talk about now, how can we make a growing which is in the most sustainable way? That means if the government doesn't provide infrastructure, can you as a developer maybe provide infrastructure
taking the responsibility yourselves?
Yeah, exactly.
Because there is no real government initiative. The government initiatives are there, the rules are there, but the rules don't get stuck to, essentially.
Yeah, the rules don't matter so much here.
Yeah.
It's all about what do you want. What do you want?
But the thing is, the rules are actually, if you go through them, they're there, and they're a good set of rules.
Right,
but nobody...
Excellent. Mexico has the greatest environmental rules on the planet. On paper, exactly.
But unfortunately, no one sticks to them. So
Sam, you did an incredible thing where you moved 100% of your trees.
So we moved 107 trees, and we replanted 107 rather than cutting them down.
Yeah.
And that it's an expensive way to do things. Let's be straight. Let's be completely frank with it. It's expensive. But we wanted to make an example to say you can do it. You can actually move trees. They do replant. We've actually, honestly, we've lost four now. We've lost four. And one of them was a big tree too, which almost saddened me because we really made such an effort to make the example. It's one of the things that we try to do. But our development is not enormous. So
the effort gets seen already.
But and if everyone is making those small steps, those small efforts, it will make such a difference to the area. So for me, it's almost like trying to come here, you know, I'm a foreigner, I've come here, I need to kind of lead by example. And that was my attitude when I arrived.
Exactly. So, I agree with you, 100%.
Yeah. Mm.
You see the rules, you see what's going on, and the best thing you can do, you cannot complain about the others or the government, but you can do, as I said, you attract the energy, you spread the, how I say in English? You attract the energy, you... not helping with English yet. So, I mean, yeah, you do the development you want to do, right? And then you find the clients who want to buy your development. And we like to commercialize the effort we do. So we try to attract, there's a lot of people in the area who don't care about the environment. And they just ask for some kind of investment. We say there's a lot of options you can buy. But if you care about the environment, as we started here, there were actually no option to buy anything which makes an effort. The efforts you're talking about, as we got here, they were nothing like this. So I think to push the market towards a more sustainable approach is the best you can do. And you're doing a great thing. And whatever comes from other development is great too, right? Everything helps.
So to bring Mark in, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, my point is the same. We have to, I think, keep trees and everything. In my case, we've been now working to replant many trash areas. You know, there are many illegal trash areas. I'm now working in a plan to send our machines and everything to clean these areas and replant trees. Also, of course, as you, as me, we work with some, we take the trees and we replant, and then we replant again to the lot. But I want to tell one thing. In terms of sustainability, for example, in my origin country where I come from, in Spain, the most sustainable city is Benidorm. Benidorm is a city which is horrible for me. Sorry if somebody is from Benidorm.
Agree. It's full of English, that's why.
Yes, it's very nice. And it's towers, no? Yeah, big towers. And this city is the most sustainable city in Spain.
Right.
And I'm telling that because there is another mistake we commit, and usually in the Riviera Maya, I remember that in Playa, when I was fighting with government, not fighting, but argue with government, and I was trying to tell them that sustainability is not going and cutting trees, and you know, we have to keep trees and gardens and nice areas and then go a little bit up. This is, I understand that.
They need to decide then what kind of city image they want, right?
Yeah. It goes back to the original question of what sustainability really means to you. What does sustainability, and for the area, what does being sustainable mean? I mean, this area is a cause for concern because it's right in front of our face. So when you've got high-rise buildings in places like Benidorm, and someone says it's the most sustainable city in the world, or
it's not built on limestone.
Yeah,
it's not built where everything's seeping into the water. And you know, to tell you honestly, in the last 4 years, as developers, you know that we've overdeveloped and developed fast, and now we're trying to get back to. You know, the sustainability question is like really inside of us. My question to you is that can we rearrange whatever we have developed and bring it back? I always used to use this George Michael line, is that to take the lies and make them true somehow, meaning whatever we have developed, obviously we've developed, overdeveloped. I mean, on a place where it was not even a structure to develop.
In my opinion, the problem comes from the PDU.
What's the PDU?
The Plan de Desarrollo Urbano, urban plan of the area. Because first of all, when the government did that, usually they don't count on our experience.
They make the rules and done.
Yeah, they make the rules. And what happens is that, and usually, and I'm not talking about Tulum, I'm just talking about
in general,
many parts of Mexico.
Of course.
When government do these plans, these urban plans, they usually do it with some, let's say, personal motive.
Exactly.
No. So and the problem is, and this is what I've been complaining the last years, that these plans, the government should talk to the developers.
Indeed,
and we have to be a very important part of this planning. And this is the biggest problem, because of that,
it's communication.
Tulum today needs to be replanned. Mm.
Yes.
And mostly living green areas. This is the most important problem. And for example, I know a specific case in Playa del Carmen. We could talk about, how do you say this area, Villas del Sol. This is the great example. And even in a social way, there are many problems there because they didn't realize that people is living in a very bad conditions. And this is, I understand that this is not exactly sustainability, but
no,
I want,
this is a big part of it. So we can talk about this afterwards.
I think that now, Nico, that is doing great developments, Sam, all of us, we have to sit down, stop for a moment, talk to the government and try to help them to replan this area with green areas, with parks, and even we can put money on that.
Decides what kind of image, what they kind of have idea. If you ask everyone, they want to say, yeah, we want to stay below or on the same level like the palm trees. Like I said at the beginning, if you swim in the ocean, see just palm trees, that is a unique thing here. If you go high rise or something like in Miami, then you have to pretty unified.
But maybe downtown, which already is affect for development.
I think we're actually, go on, sorry.
I've always talked about this, is that I think it's the responsibility of the developers, the hotel owners, to really force the topic. And generally what happens with this government or local Mexican government, it's the ego that gets involved and we have to say it, the corruption that gets involved and all these interests. And I think if people were to gather, all the developers were to gather and make it a point of contention to say, listen, let's sit down. You want the credit, we give you the credit, but let's reinforce and replan whatever we have to replan. Don't you think that we as a community have to get together? I mean,
it's essentially the point of this show. All is one to actually make to bring these points up. So to bring the ideas there.
It's completely true. Developer and government, that's the key thing.
Government and
yeah, it was at the beginning. Everything about units and square meters.
Yeah.
And no one talked about nature.
Yeah.
And people came even to me, hey, what is the square meter price? Oh, this project. And I said, are you guys crazy? Mm. Why are we talking about square meter? If you want the cheapest square meter price, what does it mean? I built you something and you watch the wall. But the square meter price, I make it really cheap. What do you think how much value this tree has? It's not. It's in the comments.
It's
not in the unit price.
It's bizarre across the world.
It's crazy. So we start to get away from units and square meter and say we should have a competition about trees and square meters of green area and maybe infrastructure facilities we have to provide to.
I completely agree, and it is one of the most bizarre things in the world is you go anywhere in the world and they protect buildings are protected. You try and go anywhere and find a protected tree. So, you know, things that are hundreds of years old.
It's the
human mindset, yeah.
It has to be responsibility. You know, we always argue about the chicken and the egg. What comes first? You know, we're always in this realm of the buyer wants to buy it, the developer wants to make it. And somewhere in... That's what I'm saying.
We say, look, our units are more expensive. The square meter price, yeah, it's high. But we include your things... We included the reasons why people come to Tulum.
Mm. But we're all talking about foreign investment. We're all talking about people coming. We're talking about tourism. Yes, that's growing the area, but something we haven't brushed on in any way or form is the locals, the people that are from here, and how we protect the people that are from here. Because the people that are from here are the ones that are directly affected more than anyone. I mean, you just need to look at the invasion right now up there. It's a big problem. I mean, both of you, what's your thoughts on the invasion? It's something that I've been looking into quite a lot recently, and it's really heavy. It's heavy to deal with, and I think as developers, we should all take part responsibility and actually think what we can do here, what we can really do. What's your thoughts? We'll start with Mark. Go.
Well, most of the times everything is planned. So don't think that is people walking through the street and they go for any reason. They are there because someone planned it. And there is always a reason why they do that. I've been here 14, 15 years. And when I arrived to Mexico, we have many land at that moment. The company I was working for in Los Cabos, and we had many problems on that. And there were special groups of people specialized on this taking land that they're, that doesn't belong to them. This is, I think that this is more a corruption thing. This is my opinion. They use
the
local people with no income to live for free in a land that belongs to someone. So I think that there are many political things in the back of this, and well, I think this is not theme today.
I was the first person to go as Radio Tulum into the invasion. About three, we did this thing called Love for Tulum, and I was like, let's go to the invasion, because no, you know. And then the minute I went, I met with 5-6 families, and they said, you are the first person to come in and talk to us. And perhaps it is corruption. There's a lot of things happening that we don't know about. And that's why I go back to the responsibility, because sustainability to me, community, sustainability, all of these things are always revolving around your weakest. It's all connected, right? Yeah. It's not just about the development.
I agree.
It's about society. This whole society, right? You want Tulum.
People.
We all talk about Tulum as if, you know, that's why I did Love for Tulum. Let's go back to the Love for Tulum. That's why I asked you, Nico, why did you arrive to Tulum? Think about, you know, because it's a magical place. And also it's given the developers and all these hotels tons and tons of filled pockets. And if we go back to Tulum, you start to realize that it's all interconnected. And we all want Tulum to be an example. So when people, a visitor arrives and they say, wow, the developers are talking to the weakest link, or you know, the hotel owners are gathered. I mean, I'm just saying that it's a very important ingredient to start thinking about.
It's one of the people. We mean the local people, of course. Yeah. Make a local impact, think globally. Mm. And there's a lot you can take them. I mean, if you do a business here, you need a lot of people. And so you can provide, we have now over 500 people in the nomina, in our payrolls. So the money goes straight in the area and people use it and have a better life. And there is not only money. Mm. There is a lot of things more, yeah. So we work a lot with the communities, we invite the communities, and we make, not schools yet, but we have academies where we invite people, we have a lot of experts in the company, and they share knowledge in between, and we try to share the knowledge also with the locals. So we have every week almost, we have not a radio show, but we have an academy where we invite people and have presentations, all kind of things. Because what I saw personally in the communities here is, the parents doesn't know what the talent of the kid is. Because there is no way to explore it. In the schools, they don't show them much. And there is not much contact with technology or art or whatever. So we bring them in contact with this and together with the parents. And then the parents, sometimes the first time in their life, they see, wow, I didn't know, but my son maybe likes to be an architect as well. Or my son has a favor for engineering or architecture or technology. And then sometimes you just need to really start with a little fight. Start a little fight. And these kinds of things is important. We're foreigners, we come here, and we should just always think, what can we give to the back to the people from our background?
So this is exactly
we can bring a lot too. Technology, knowledge.
In my case, this is the way I think, not based on money, not based on as a developer, but since I came to Tulum, I saw many deficiencies. No, there are many, but we all know that there are many deficiencies. And first thing I try to do, I start with the Red Cross, and I realize this is another big problem. I realized that there was only one ambulance in Tulum. Only one. We've had the opportunity to help the Red Cross in Tulum, bringing one and then a second one, second hand, but we help them. And that was an important point. And I'm talking about Red Cross. Then we went, for example, with a group. It's a foundation with handicapped kids. This is another. I do that. I do the same in Playa del Carmen. And in my case, we donate the land to build the school. And if you go, and the first time I went to see this place, when I saw all the group of people, and I went 3, 4, or 6 months later, and I realize how they grow up, because these are people with no money and handicapped, mental Down syndrome. This is
There's a lot of undercurrent issues that are happening to the local community.
Yes, and you know what? One of the stories I remember more that really surprised me was in a little village. Sorry, in a little village inside the jungle, there was a guy in a tree with a rope because they thought he was possessed by a soul. And this guy was, ¿cómo se llama? He has a mental problem. Yeah. Imagine the inculture on that. And we help this guy to change his life. So this type of stories that happens, and I think that developers, out of doing money and out of developing, today in Tulum, we can do many things.
There's so much. I mean, if you guys got, I'm sorry to say this, and I've been examining this. I mean, I've been coming for 16 years, you know. I arrived to Playa del Carmen, and I went for 1 hour to Tulum, and I never went back to Playa del Carmen. And because I knew that the beach that never, you know, the sand that never gets hot, the stars that fall from the sky, the magic that I feel, I cannot feel anywhere else. It's... I love this place. I mean, I love it viscerally. I love it as a space where I can really think and grow. And of course, there's tons of opportunity and it's a naked land. But, you know, now we have this conversation. Sorry, Sam, to talk about this. There's so much discrepancy happening. I mean, the cost of living is going up and you've got the discrepancy with the local people who don't know how to express their emotions. So there's this push and pull because they're feeling, you know, also taken advantage of their land and looking it disappear. And the discrepancy of cost of living is going up. So there's these questions that we have to contend with because we always start talking about the trash, the limestone, and all of these things that, yeah, the coral. I mean, we're involved with everything, right? We're also involved with the Melipona Bee. I mean, we're doing a Melipona project, but not because I want to just do Melipona, but I think we need to put faces to the community because you need to know Pedro, you need to know Juan, you need to know all these people in order to really establish the real sense of community. Bro, seriously.
The radio's on and the radio station has really bad microphones, I gotta say.
No, it's just the connection, sorry. Anyway, what I was just bringing up is that I think it's our responsibility if we want to continue to, And really form a plan. I mean, as Sam is doing, and conversation is very important to step up.
Communication is
important.
It's the communication, not just between us developers, us people that are trying to make a difference. It's communication with the locals. So I listened to a TED Talk very recently, and it's an interesting guy, Italian guy, and he talks about Africa, for instance, and when we've been trying to go over to Africa to fix Africa for many years, and he says it's 30 years and $50 billion or whatever's been spent, and parts of Africa have not changed. People are still starving. And the problem is, he said he went there with the Italian arrogance, if you like. They planted vine tomatoes. They're in Mozambique, and they watched these tomatoes grow, and they're thinking, why aren't these people feeding themselves? Let me finish this, because why aren't these people feeding themselves? And so time goes on, and they're just about to harvest. And the day before the harvest, all the hippos came out of the river in Mozambique and ate the whole plantation. And do you know what they said? The Italians went running to the locals, and they said, "Why didn't you tell us?" And they said, "You never asked. You never asked." So that locals are not getting asked what they want. They're not. So maybe that we need to find some sort of spokesperson for the locals to bring them in to what we're doing, to give them the opportunity to have a voice.
Yeah, we invite what we do. It's communication is key. Yeah, I think there is a lot of frustration from the past. Mexico, like I said, there comes an all-inclusive hotel, and the only contact the local person has with the tourist is that they come drunk and all the all-inclusive hotel. That's it. And I say, is it beneficial for me? But Tulum has a special vibe, not only because of the stars and the the beach, also because the connection between locals. This is an authentic experience that people have here in Tulum, because they connect with real people who work, live here, and they're Mexicans. And yeah, you have to take them with. So what we always make of someone, if someone feels like, ah, there should not be development, we always invite. We say, yeah, I agree with you, but please come and have a discussion with us, have a conversation with us, and see our team. We have a lot of people in Tulum working every day, and they're all passionate about the positive impact in Tulum and not destroying it. And then we invite them, show them what they're doing, and then usually they're saying, yeah, I think you guys are doing a great job. And we invite them also to give, you said it before, to give extra feedback. What else can we do? Huh? No one is perfect. So we did tree transplant, we did solar panels, we have electric cars, we have all this stuff, we have 69% green air. What do you think we can do additionally? Huh? And everyone who has an idea is welcome. And
it's a great initiative. I mean, I respect you for doing that. And I'm this show, again, is all as one. And the reason I have it is to pull people together, because I feel you're doing individual stuff, which is fantastic. You're doing wonderful stuff as well. I mean, we're talking about these. But the whole idea is how, if we can get everyone working together to get these initiatives in place, we can really be an unstoppable force to save this area. How could, I mean, both of you, what's your thoughts on bringing everyone, anyone who's anyone, I hate to categorize people, but anyone who's anyone in this area.
You guys,
how can we bring us together?
Can we just talk about a 0.001 tax to help the community? No.
I think that now with the recently created ADI, the Riviera Maya Association of Developers, which is really new, I think. And all of us are players there. I think if we work together and if we establish the rules, our rules, this is, for example, about the trade plans, treatment plans, we decide in the association that every single project in Tulum has their own plant. This is one thing that can help to the municipality, because there are no enough pipes and the
sewers that they laid. I saw them were like this tiny sewer. I mean,
no, it's not a sewer.
Oh, it's not a sewer. No, what did they lay?
The sewer is big. Yeah. Yeah. It's like in region 15 of Leta, we got now canals for the water high system. But they can't have any sewers. So the water is so highly contaminated that people, they shower not with good stuff. So it was really the last hour to implement the connection to Kappa. But now we don't see what still happens. The water of a lot of condominiums still goes in the biggest underground river in the world. And this is something people don't see. Sometimes say the design of this project really good. I say, yeah, I get to see what's under the design.
Where's
the supply chain system? And so that's why we're talking so much about it, because in the past, no one cared about it. So they say, hey, because people coming from outside, they think, of course, there must be a treatment plant, a sewer system, all this kind of stuff. You don't even know. But there's nothing. It's a sign for construction, but there is no infrastructure. And
Well, I mean, obviously it's the government. We can leave it to the government's responsibility, but we all know that they're not going to take that responsibility, you know? And I think that, or they're going to take the responsibility when this association, you can push a little harder. And the most important thing, I think, for the government or in a small town like this, it's credit. Give them the credit. Say, you can have the credit. You can shake the hand, but allow for this thing to happen. And I mean, I've heard horror stories from the first recycling plant. I mean, I've been doing interviews since I arrived 5 years ago about all of these things, from UNAM, United Nations, to all of these things. And it's been the same problems, and we haven't solved any of them. And we're still
talking about them. Anyway, go ahead.
So,
what was the question?
The question is, can you push? The question is to integrate government.
The government needs help too, because the government.
Exactly. It doesn't have a lot.
If there comes another developer and says, give me the license, I want to build everything full of condo units here, and I don't care about anything, then it's in a bad position. But we try, I think, now to establish a different kind of market where it was just as Mark said, we have to. They have to have all tree content. I think the market noticed already, if you leave the tree, you can sell higher. So, this was something, yeah, that was something, sometimes you sell for a high square meter price, yeah, because I don't sell square meters. The only way to protect nature, because there's a big lack of natural parks assigned from the government, the only way to protect nature right now is to put it inside your project, because then no one can take it out anymore, because I saw a lot of parks disappearing from condominium.
I think there is a huge opportunity now for everybody, because there are so many developments coming.
It's crazy.
But I want to tell you one thing. Everybody, and you can see today in the market, everybody is doing efforts to make it better. Because now everybody, all of us here, we are always competing and we want to make it better. But my point is that I think that this will bring to Tulum a better place. And we are still on time. Even, but my only doubt are coming from these maybe little developments or people with no experience, which there are many now on the market, that I don't know how they will handle and how they will adapt this growing and this need, okay? Because this is my only concern, because I know that those like you, like me, like you, that we are concerned and we've been working on that for many years, or at least we have our way of thinking on the sustainability way. But and of course, the bigger and the good projects will be better than our projects, because there is always a new project coming doing something else, and this is good.
Progress, I always say that progress, progress is, we can't stop progress, you know, but we can try to intellectualize, curb, direct, because of the thing we want, our love for Tulum. We want Tulum to be what it always was from the beginning that we got here. And I think that that's a possibility. I think it can all be saved. I think Sam always tells me this number. There's 372 developments on the books for the end of the year, bro. And it does worry me. And the small builder, the person looking for the gold rush of Tulum, you know, the one that's just arrived and saying, hey, bro, let's sign the check. Let's go, you know. And, you know, there's people, cranes are...
And I'm the first to admit it here. That's why I came. And this is the change that happened with me. I came with that. I bought land off of a map, and I walked on the land. I've only ever developed in cities. So I take an old building down, put a new building up. I come here and it changed me. And I spent the time learning about sustainability before I developed, because it tripped me out. I've got to say, you walk on and think, wow, I'm killing stuff. So yeah, I was one of the gold rush. I was one of those. So what I'm saying is, have some sort of hope with them, because we can educate them. We have an opportunity as developers that are here to educate. We shouldn't, again, all as one, to actually bring everyone together and say, come in, you know, let's offer these smaller developers the opportunity to learn maybe by doing some sort of expos, bringing sustainable materials, giving people an opportunity.
Yeah, in addition to the government, I'm not worried about government.
Yeah, no,
because you know what? Government, at the end, we are close to government.
Yeah.
Because we need them, they need us.
Yeah.
So my point is, why don't we help them to do a better Tulum?
This association that you just told me about, the whole of Riviera Maya Development Association, should set the rules and the book and the construction sites, you know, and then bring those rules. I mean, there's rules on the books that still you can dig 60 meters into the ground and put your shit down there. There's those still rules still exist. And they, you know, we can try to improve. And if you are developing a developers association, you have to set the rules and you say, here.
You set the standard already, I think, but a lot of developers see Tulum growing fast and say, oh, I got to go to Tulum and make some money.
Exactly.
I have no idea how expensive it is to build a Tulum. Then they come and see, oh, there's no sewer system. Oh, if I need a lot of green space, the apartment gets really expensive, and I need to implement this technology. So there is a misperception about how expensive it is to develop a Tulum. That's why I see a lot of players who come right now in the market, will not survive the market. And right now, like you said, you're going outside of the city already, the prices are really high and it's really expensive to build. Hopefully you cannot sell anymore the apartments who are 100% using the lot.
It's expensive, and like you say, the gold rush developers coming in. So they're going to come in, and the trouble is they're not going to be educated. No one's going to tell them, so they're going to look to find the cheapest method, which is to be firing the ships into the sewer, and they're going to find the cheapest method because there's no policing, and that's where the problem lies. I mean, the rules are there.
That's the only way.
And it's self-policing. So maybe in the association we should be actually looking to say, okay, we need to, rather than just implement these rules, we need to police these rules.
In the association, the idea is to make it as a very close, and we are. That's the idea. Of course, it's new. We need to see how it works. But the idea is that if you are not part of the ADI, you are not a developer. No, that's what we are pretending to do, and I think we could do many things. And again, as we were talking, we need to to count on the local people. We need to see, for example, to educate them. For example, I was doing some studies, research about recycling, and now there is in the Riviera Maya less than 1%. We are recycling less than 1% of the plastic, for example.
This is
nothing.
It's a really bizarre thing. For me, I look at this, the Riviera Maya, and I think, well, this is an opportunity for us recycling.
Yes.
It begs a question. Why aren't the recycling giants here? This is a $1 billion coastline.
It's a $1 billion business.
Why aren't they here?
In my case, I've been working some months on that, bringing some foundations. And the idea was, the first thing is to start educating the people. But you know what? Not only the schools, but not only the schools and universities, because the people that go to school are educate people, but the problem are parents. And this, we sometimes cannot, how do you arrive to the parents of this poor guy in the school that the parent, maybe one is drunk, sorry to talk about
that. It's a big alcoholic problem.
And the other one, and the other one is working in a hotel. So they don't have time to, and we can, how do we educate them? And I think that now, in what I've been more now working, is in how to educate these people and to start planning, cleaning the sea, cleaning the beach, cleaning cenotes, cleaning downtown, and showing how to recycle, how to do recycling. Where I come from, my country, I'm from close to Barcelona. Since before I came here, I had like six different trash, and that was normal for me.
It's completely normal.
When I arrived here, there was no possible way to do it because nobody was separate.
That's a fantastic point.
This is important. We have to create the culture.
And we have to educate. Make it convenient. No one's going to follow something that's not convenient. If it's difficult to do something consciously, the subconscious takes over and they just go back to what they're normally doing. So you have to create convenience. So when it comes to recycling, like you say, in Europe, you've got 6 bins. In England, you're actually fined if you don't use your correct bin.
Well, I think it's a different animal too, Sam. I think you have to intellectualize it. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry.
No, I think you have to really have been experts and try to figure out the psychology on how to affect the change. It's not just convenience that's going to create the change, because I've interviewed head of the sociology department, UNAM, who even said, who saved the bat that pollinates the agave plant, still gives you mezcal. He says, look, it's the mentality. You have to go to the core of it, you know, because this is in online, and he literally said, the head of the sociology department, if you give a hole, people are going to throw trash in it. And that's what's got a really hard thing to try to cultivate. Just by putting up trash cans, you have to really do more than just put up trash cans or convenience. And we have to intellectualize. We have to bring some experts in and say, okay, issues. You know, here's the problems, because psychologically, there's so many effects that are happening. There's a drug problem. There's a drinking problem that's underneath that's affecting these people. And psychologically, what they're seeing is their land, in a way, quote unquote, sort of being overdeveloped or taken, and those psychologies have to come to rest. Our community has to take care. We have to go to the invasion. We have to build local housing because there's a discrepancy. Once you start to access and really do something for the people, they will automatically listen to you.
But you know what? Let me tell you one thing. There was a developer in Cancun that was doing a research on how the criminology was affecting the different developments in low construction. And these guys, you know what they do? And it was a very important thing. They put a group of people working for them, like social women that work for the society in the communities. You know, you don't have any idea how the number of killings and suicides was zero in all their projects. The only reason was because they put these people to help them. Then they study what to do during the day, what can they offer to kids to do extra social things after the school. And that was very important. And I've been learning about that the last years. And I think this group in Cancun is doing a great job, and we should learn and do that here. And you know what? It's very important to leave amenities and green areas for these local people.
Yeah. Completely
because
agree.
Otherwise we will be creating great projects, but once this is what happens in Cancun, the people is unhappy.
Yes,
is unhappy because they work in Mayacoba with great and super high-end finishes and great everything. And when they go home, they took 2 hours to get home, and they arrived to Villas del Sol in the middle of nothing with all concrete because there is nothing else than concrete, hot. And people complaining, people, you know, and they started doing a plan. Some days they do the family day, and they started going to the street, cleaning the neighborhood by themselves, with the fathers, with the other. And then they start putting like a manager in each two streets. This manager or this responsible family was taking care of that nobody was doing anything wrong. And with that said, they went to zero.
That's an amazing thing.
I think the whole of them are a great example. They're a great example. What we all can do, lead by example. So everyone can do something in this area. So we tried. I bought actually the first electric car in the entire state of Quintana Roo. And my vision is that at the end, everyone has electric car in the area. And that's going to help everyone. And we use probably Uber. And we were the first one in our area who made a treatment plant, and now working that everyone has a treatment plant, and the water comes actually cleaner out of the project than we take it from the environment. And then the green space. Yeah. Competition about green space. Every project has minimum 50, 60, 70% green spaces. And then we talk about technology. Yeah. There's a lot of technology. We can generate energy in renewable sources. In Germany, in Europe, we have that a lot, but in Germany especially, we have a lot of solar panels on every roof, but there is not even sun. So as I came here, I thought, wow, what a great opportunity this country has. And you have the laws are actually to implement it. That's maybe more important. Everyone who has a house or something can connect the solar power already to the grid and produce their own energy. A lot of people don't even know that. So we use it also in our condominium. So go with technology. And there is a lot of way you can make progress with technology. And yeah, you should lead by example. And then you inspire. That's how we all grew up. We followed our parents. And now if we hear in the talking about development, lead example, right? And I love our success is just because a lot of people came and thought, wow, I really like what you guys are doing. Huh? And I said, okay, that's cool. Because we like also what we're doing. And we all talk the same language because it benefits at the end.
I think now, we like what we're doing. Everyone likes with the developments that are going on. Mark hit something that's actually very close to my heart. It's is now the focus shouldn't just be on what we're doing as developers with the water plants, with the solar. We should be looking further afield. We need to start looking at the local communities, like the initiative of the guy in Cancun. What a fantastic initiative! First time you've told me about it, and I want to pick your brains afterwards on it. But it's something that we should, up this end, we should be implementing. And that is something
we can all be doing. You know, we can be talking about implementing that initiative. What a fantastic initiative for local people, because if you can make the local people happy, the divide will be smaller.
There is a lot of fantastic things in organization happening right now in Tulum, right? Mm-hmm. This is, and we,
no, there,
we
there's all, a lot of stuff, but the, you know, to create community, it's a really weird thing. We use words, we talk a lot, and you know, this Love for Tulum, we had every single NGO there together. I said, let's put them all together in a space and let's try to dissipate the ego of trying to do something. And you know, it's, Nico, and sorry to contradict you a little bit, but I don't think it's enough just to lead by example in your own house. I think we have to go outside of our own house.
I agree.
I think we have to be responsible towards the space we live in, because in the end, you're as a developer, 10 years from now, what is Tulum going to be? What is Tulum going to look like with your property values and oversaturation in the marketplace?
Yeah, of course, the house is Tulum. Not misinterpreting. Of course, Tulum.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Not
so
my
sorry.
House, of course. All the people are working for us and not... You know, they work and live in Tulum, and everything we do. We just last week had a cleaning up in the Valletta. We do the cleaning at Beach Club. We participate with a lot of organizations in Tulum, right? I mean, there is a great example around the world. We can learn from them, but we need to implement this in Tulum. And there is a lot of people who want to work already with you, and like Red Cross. There's so many things.
Yeah, yeah,
so many people looking for help. And so I mean,
I want to agree with you. The
community is Tulum. Yeah, and we, like I said, we invite the whole community, whole Tulum, always for interchange with ideas and conversations. And I think that's the key way to go. Yeah.
Yeah, my apologies for bringing that up, because I'm writing a book called The Smaller Eye. And I said the amount of sacrifice needed is beyond the self-meditation, the self-reflection. It's beyond that. It's a responsibility to man, a responsibility to yourself. It has to. That's why you meditate, is to be able to feel so much depth inside of you that nothing can be taken from you. Once you feel that way, you can give openly and you see the future. You have a vision. Sorry. So I didn't mean it that way. I apologize.
Yeah. And one way is the one of my ways again of doing things. We are now under construction of a new, let's say, shopping area. And, I have two parts of this shopping area.
This is Hacienda.
Hacienda. And I'm not trying to promote my project.
No, it's fine. It's okay. We can all start plugging now. I mean,
that my idea in that project was to, because As a local, okay, I have a great place on the beach here, which for me is something I never thought I was going to get, and I got this place, which is for me my cave, no? And every time I came, I put my son and my daughter to sleep, and I go with my wife, and I come to the hotel zone. I was having many problems to get a place, no? To be able to sit down in a restaurant and eat. And that's the reason why I create this idea of Tuk. I create this for many things. And this is according to sustainability too, not in terms of technology, mostly in terms of community. And well, Tuk is Tuk in Mayan means lucky. And I put that because I wanted to create a place where people can go, can enjoy. That means restaurants, because you need to eat to enjoy. One thing. Then a theater. We have an auditorium where I've been a year now, and it's still 1 year more to open. But I will be 2 years working on the events we will bring to Tulum. Amazing. I want to bring jazz festivals, cinema festivals. We will have many, many, many festivals in that place because I wanted to create a community place. Our auditorium will do classes like what Nico is doing, that they are helping people, yeah, integrating community.
Education
Bible. Education. This idea to have education. Yeah.
Education, Bible. Education.
For whole Tulum.
Yeah.
For whole Tulum. Okay. Then, and you know actually what the second biggest cause of death is in Mexico?
What is it?
Is it the consumption of sugar?
Yeah, so we have already, I mean,
you know, the Mexican Gatorade is Coca-Cola.
We have a restaurant we opened last year, and like our mission is actually in the company to make a positive impact in every field, not just in construction. There's a lot of technical things in construction, but there's a lot of social things. A lot of things comes from the heart, actually. But in the second cause of death is actually diabetes, and that people have too much consumption.
The number one consumer of Coca-Cola.
I can actually get into the battle of the restaurant
in Tulum called Sugar Free. So we opened the first restaurant who is completely not using any refined sugar.
Can I give you the real reason? Why diabetes is caused? Diabetes is caused because the receptors are blocked up by animal fat. So if we can get into sustainability and veganism, diabetes isn't caused by sugar. Diabetes, what kills you in the end is the sugar. But the animal fats that go through your blood block up the receptors that will cause the diabetes, because your body cannot absorb the sugars and it can't process the sugars because of it's mainly caused
by
animal fat.
Sugar's good or sugar's bad?
Sugar's bad.
So sugar-free is
vegan's even better. I mean, I always
fucking
agree with you.
Sorry,
I got to make a point. I 100% agree with you. That's a good thing. I agree. And we don't have the time, but we have actually created a sustainable burger. So I agree with you 100%. If you talk about sustainability, the reason number one problem in the world is that we take all the land and turn it into farming land to feed animals, and then we eat them. So in the future, we're going to tell our kids. So the kid's going to ask, so daddy, before you killed animals and then you ate them? And yeah, that's what we did. And it's really bad. And yeah, in the restaurant, we don't have even sugar-free. We have also the first sustainable burger. That means the burger has more protein than any burger you can buy in Tulum and is not made out. It's made 100% out of plant. Here we go.
Well, so just talking.
And the restaurant is open for everyone.
Okay. So I don't know what the prices are yet, but so we'll go.
Yeah. What's the price of animal?
No. I'm just saying that we have to think a lot about. I mean, as a business,
It's 100. The daily menu is 100 pesos.
I'm sorry to challenge this conversation because I've been thinking about these conversations a lot, and we're going to get to Tuk. You said sustainability was three things.
Yeah.
The third thing was profit.
And planet profit.
I really wanted to interrupt you there on what the profit motivation and sustainability. Obviously, as a developer, as a businessman, profit's important. But, you know, explain to me that word and what that means.
That's really important because sustainability means actually not on the cost of something. So if we contaminate.
Not at the cost of something else.
Not at the cost of something.
Okay.
So, and if you mean profit. So that means not of the cost of something, and this means not of the cost of the people, not of the cost of the land. Yeah. So profit is important, like you said, but you know, you always think that you make profit in a sustainable way. But sometimes people come here and say, "I want to just make a quick buck and leave." So there is no long-term vision, and that is what hurts areas all over the world. People who come want to make money and leave. They have not even the intention to stay here or something. So making profit is important because otherwise you can't pay your employees. You can't offer all these things. You can't open a restaurant. You can't offer university. You can't give donations to any kind of association. So profit is important, but make it in a sustainable way that most of the area participates. That means the profit.
Okay, I wanted to clear that up because that's a hard word to really, without explanation.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. And it's not even my goal. It comes from the UN. United Nations defined very clear how sustainable development worldwide, because a lot of people talk about sustainable and don't know even what it means. So the UN, you can go on the UN side and just discover all kind of section, but it goes to the three P's.
It's the 1030 program or whatever, 2030 program?
There is sustainability goals for the whole world in every kind of section, also in veganism and animals and everywhere. And you can sum it up in the three P's, profit, planet, and people. And then as a developer, a business person or whatever, as every person, can try to make an impact in all three P's. So everyone can sit at home, let me think. Everyone needs to make profit. Everyone needs to gain a little bit out of his work or business. So do I make profit in a sustainable way? Do I live in the environment? Or do I make on the cost of something? Yeah.
That's a really important point of that, right? Do I cost more than I take in? And the great line is always give for what you take.
Yeah, exactly.
If you give for what you take, you're going to find, you know, a much more balanced harmony in this world, and especially in Tulum. So tell us more. Finish your thought on we've gotten all around here. So
No. I just
it's a great conversation. Welcome to Radio Tulum and hear the love and all.
Yeah,
that you
when
do.
We create
all is one with Sam Gordon.
Tuk is a snake shape. If you go to the sky, and we took that from the creation of the world from the Mayan culture, and the snake finished with the head, which is Hacienda Tuk, which is our last project. So in the back there is a development. There is a profit there. But my idea was to bring culture. We have big walls and we will have many painters coming and making paintings. We will have sculptures. It will be a very live place. The theater to do classes, to do events, to do many things will happen there. And then we will have the first Boho Chic market, which is what we last week we did a little corner of the hippie market, which will be a very nice area based on a nice market in Ibiza. And I took that from my last holidays in Ibiza. And what I want is to put some of the places for locals, because all the area, all this shopping area will be with local designers. I want to
artisans.
Yes, artisans and also clothes designer locals. Locals mean not like Fendi or
like Macario Gomez. Yes. The women, there's a 97% women's group that is actually working on a price list, like a taxi driver has a price list. They're working, and the Victor Mas and his group are trying to do something. Of course, they fucked it up last
organic,
time.
Organic.
No, I'm sorry to say, they fucked it up. They were doing something, and then all of a sudden, the show didn't happen. I was like, what? You know, but anyway.
So the idea there is to be a place for the community. Also for tourism, because I know that when I will be a grandfather, this place will still be alive. Because my idea is to bring, that has to be a cultural place, okay? And I want to finish with two things. And my next two projects that I'm working now in the jungle are one retreatment. I'm going now to start a very nice project in the world of meditation, which is going to be honestly amazing. And a second project is an organic community. The first organic community in Mexico, it's a huge project, but I'm now working on that. And these are things that I'm sure that will change the future of this area.
That sounds amazing. I mean, we've been doing this, you know, culture. When I first got here and when they took my bar that was about to open in the 17 Hotel, you know, I came here to write a narrative movie and you know, I had this, what was Shaman, I had Paraíso, and then...
So you sold alcohol, yeah?
Well, of course, I sold alcohol. No, I didn't sell alcohol. I didn't open. They took the hotel 2 weeks from opening. They took it, and I said, you know, I've got to give this place more love, not less love, because that's my responsibility. So I turned Radio Mandeep into Radio Tulum, and the first thing we needed was culture. And in my two-room apartment, we started this thing that all of a sudden I had 30, 40 people in my two-room apartment. And it was, we're so hungry for this aspect, this organic nature. And I'm glad you guys are just culture. It's just such an important, one of the visions I'll tell you I had was, I've been talking to Patricio de la Torre. I was like, let's make a mural. I don't like murals because I think they're too common, too, you know, everything's, art has become democratized. So kill all the DJs and fuck all the actors, but, you know, bring all the high art. I'm sorry, but, you know, because it's important to think. That's what I'm saying. I told the city, paint all of the community that lives here. So all of the local people from the Mayan, from the Italian, from the German. So every day they get to see that there's a harmony between people. These are the things psychologically you have to penetrate. And we have to show the community we're taking care of them. And this, in 10 years from now, will help us. I mean, we can develop all the developments on the planet, but really, there's a great line by Jack Nicholson that says, when asked, do you mind getting old? And he says, no, because I've done it so well. And it's all about how we want to grow old and how we want Tulum to grow old. And this is a really crucial thing. And I like these projects quite a bit. And we love to document these projects to come to fruition. I mean, in the last 4 years, the amount of culture, the amount of things that are happening in Tulum, I'm extremely proud, viscerally, that what is happening, sustainability in the forefront of conversation. You know, I wish somebody would just go to Germany and buy that land and bring it and settle it over there and take care of the trash. You know, I mean, just gather up, put a little few dollars in there and bring it.
I think the important thing is that the world is moving. It's moving. The wheels are in turn, and we're trying to do the right thing. On that note,
always that democratic side.
on that note, this conversation has been fantastic, but there's a lot of things we need to actually take from this and not just have a conversation. Conversations are happening all over. We need to start to action. So the key things that I really have taken from this, several things about sustainability and the smaller developer coming in and doing what they want. We can address that amongst the larger developers. So this is key. The other thing is the initiatives around the locals. What you said about the what's happening in Cancun has blown my mind. And that's as a collective, start to think about that and actually get something rolling on that. We are getting to the time, and I know you two, I need to respect your time a bit. We can talk for hours and hours. This can go on for weeks. So I want to thank you both.
It's very important, I think.
This is the coolest radio show in Tulum. I love it.
All as one.
Yeah, but it's still us.
So I just want to thank you both for coming in. Thank you. And again,
every week at the same time.
All right. That's amazing.
Now in time.
No, it's amazing. You guys, you need to get more of your friends together and start talking, because that's the only way change is really going to happen. I mean, it's not just the talking. It's that we're going to hold feet to the fire. We're going to feel a little more responsible if we really communicate this all the time and not be inside of our worlds, because it's we're humans and we get wrapped up in our world and don't get out of it. So this has been a production of Radio Tulum. We want to thank, of course, Mr. Samuel Gordon for hosting this show, All Is One. We want to thank Mark here, Nico here for joining us. I just want to end as we always do. Go out and support your independent voices. Those are the voices that are going to set you free. Those are the voices that are going to bring a better future. And if you don't support them, you will just be the same. Hear the love in all that you do. Live with intention and feel the consciousness. And I don't mean that in an esoteric level. You can do it. Always be inspired. Thank you for joining us.